Let's welcome to the stage Coach John Beilein. Coach, you want to make some opening comments?
Sure. We're thrilled to be here. A long trip from Ann Arbor yesterday, and we arrived late last night and got a good night's sleep, though. And we're feel blessed to be in this situation, playing in a great arena against a tremendous Texas A&M team. And look forward. We had a good practice yesterday. Look forward to about 90 minutes today. We've already watched film for 30, did a walkthrough for 30, and we're going to be as ready as we can be, given that we didn't know about much about Texas A&M until, you know, after their win against their great win against North Carolina on Sunday.
Right here in front, please.
Robert Morales, Southern California News Group. Hi, Coach. How are you?
Good.
Coach, there's been a lot of talk before you came in about how vital the play of the bigs of the two teams are going to be. What about the guard play? You've had some good guard play, and so have they. How important of a role do you think that'll play in the outcome tomorrow?
I think that, at this time of the year, it's really important to have good guard play if you're going to win. The big men are obviously important. But I always thought there was some championships, some games over time that have been absolutely determined by the guard play. So I think all the sets of guards on both teams may be underrated a little bit, and it's going to be a great matchup. I think we have the one senior on our team who has really been shown this incredible growth. Muhammad Ali Abdur Rahman is just an incredible growing, and Xavier Simpson hardly played last year while he continued to grow as a player, and he's really been a very a big asset for us, spark plug our defense. But Texas A&M guards are good now; they're really good.
Right here.
Gabe Bach with Texax. John, if you could take us through what you have been able to learn about A&M on tape, especially their twin towers or two bigs inside with Rob Williams and Tyler Davis.
Yeah, they're very talented. They're skilled. They pass the ball well. They're obviously a tremendous offensive rebounding team. The 12 offensive rebounds a game they're getting is as high a number as we've seen this year. The rebounding game, I don't know if I'm different on it, but we are really consumed with how many offensive rebounds we can keep a team from getting. Rebounds don't win the game. Offensive rebounds win games. And so that concerns us a great deal. They got really good guard play and change defenses. They play, a lot of teams we've been playing 100% man. They play a really good zone defense as well, and they have a lot of talent. They got a terrific coach.
Hi, John. Dave Briggs, Toledo Blade. Just to kind of illustrate the evolution of a team throughout the season, I have kind of a strangely specific question. What do you remember about that first close scrimmage at Toledo, and what it maybe told you about how far you guys had to go this year?
Can I speak about that? I don't think I can speak about the close scrimmage. From around that time, I think with a good basketball team, there's growth every day. And we started in September. Anybody would have told me in September, October, you're going to win 30 games, I would have said, you obviously haven't seen us practice yet. We're a long way from winning any games. We really have some good young talent on this team, developing talent, and they just really want to get better. And that's a key. And we've had a lot of breaks this year now. UCLA, we've got a freshman at the line. If he makes both foul shots, we go into overtime. If he misses, it's a loss to UCLA at home. That wouldn't have been good, right? We had a game with Maryland where we had to go to the foul line with no time left or 1 second left, and we won that game. You saw the game the other day. We've had a lot of good breaks this year, and that's what I know about this team. And I've been with teams that were really good teams that had a lot of bad breaks.
Right.
That does not answer your question one bit, but that's the best I can do.
Right back there.
John Ben Baby with the Dallas Morning News. You mentioned there's an A&M zone. Why does that zone give teams such fit?
Exact same thing as Syracuse. It's big. It's really big. And you think all of a sudden, okay, I've been open all year here, but all of a sudden you got a guy like DJ coming out on you, right? And he's 6'9 on a wing. They got to have the other wing is going to be 6'10 or 6'11, and that can present problems for teams just shooting over that length. That's been the Syracuse. Syracuse got a great package in their zone. I remember we had when I was at West Virginia, we were playing and we had these really good looks to get open the zone, and we got a guy wide open, and Hakeem Warwick, you know, blocked that shot into the 10th row, and that was the end of our night. I mean, we weren't our kids lost all confidence because of that length, and Texas A&M can do the exact same thing.
Coach Brian Gillis, SB Nation. You mentioned Xavier Simpson, who's playing well. From the outside, it seemed like he really turned the corner right at the Big Ten tournament. He played all year, like you mentioned, but he really made a difference. Is that something that you saw coming, or was it a surprise to you at all?
No, there were different pockets in the UCLA game that I just spoke about. We were down 4 or 5 points late, and like with less than a minute to go. 4 points, I think we were down. And he just flat out stole the ball from one of their guys and went down and laid it in. And he's just for him it was, you know, a couple steps forward and then maybe a step backwards in some things, and then there's more steps forwards and then just lateral steps. He's growing. He and I have sort of established a trust level with each other. And that he knows that I trust that he's going to do. I know he's going to make mistakes, he knows I'm going to make mistakes. But we're going to continue to go through it. But he's just evolving. I'm really looking forward to seeing him over these next 2 years, how much he continues to evolve. But right now, he's defensively and in many ways offensively, he can play with any guard in the country.
Richard Kroom, Bryan College Station Eagle. Coach, going back, one question.
Where are we? Okay, sorry. Yeah,
going back, one question. Because we've seen that happen, what you talked about, players losing confidence with the 6'9 guys coming out at them and blocking three-pointers almost from the paint. What do you do to keep your players' confidence up when that happens? Because it's probably going to happen at one point or another.
Yeah, that is always a thing that we really try to be real with them. What's happened? Like another thing that happens if somebody gets dunked on. Oh my God! It's like you know, it's the end of the world. No, it's 2 points. Go down and hit a three, and we're ahead by one, right? So we try to be real with them. And all, they block the shot. Hey, it's our ball. So what's the big deal, right? And you just be real with them and just try to get them down, because it's life today for these kids is so much about highlights and not about substance. And we're just, what is really happening here? We have the ball back. So what if he blocked it? So what if he's talking smack? Just make do the next right thing, and don't worry about your feelings being hurt or your ego changing a little bit. Just play through it. And that's the biggest challenge with all of us right now, whether we're fathers and mothers, is handling that type of hype that goes to the kids, you know, that they do not necessarily, it's the end of the world on any little thing. No, it's not. Just continue on, and persistence, time is a friend of truth, and just keep going through it and keep being persistent, and things will work out.
Richard Kroom with the Bryan College Station Eagle. To follow up that, 2 years ago A&M played you and I and had that miracle comeback, and they've kind of admitted a little bit that they let that hang with them when they went to the Sweet 16. Do you see a problem with that with the shot, so to speak?
Yeah, what are you afraid? I know they come back in Northern Iowa.
Where you just don't forget that, or you know, or you haven't focused to the next thing. And
no, I mean we've been through quite a thing here, where we won 4 games in 4 days, and then had a big layoff, and went and won 2 games against Montana and Houston, are really two really good defensive teams. And No, I don't. I see us just going to play on, and we were fortunate to be here, and we played the best basketball we could play, and it wasn't as good as some of our other games, but that just happens. Everybody's always asking for reasons why. There's no reason why. It just happens. They're 19-year-old kids. It just happens.
Yeah. Gabe Bach with Texas. John, what do you need specifically from Mo Wagner going into this matchup tomorrow?
Stay on the court as much as he can, right? It's not like he will foul sometimes that he doesn't need to even foul, right? And so he's really working at that very hard, but trying to stay on the court a little bit more. At the same time, when he was off the court, we became John Teske did an incredible job defensively for us. But it would be better to have him out there for 30 than 23 like we've had him the last couple games. And he's done that. He's played against some really big players, and it has been a problem. But sometimes it's just getting used to the officials, He speaks English really well, but if when things are coming rapid to him very quickly, sometimes he'll just misunderstand what a ref's telling him. So he's a great kid, and I wouldn't trade him for anybody in the world.
Right here.
John, Ben Baby again with the Morning News, and kind of along that same line of thinking here. I mean, how important is it for y'all to have that your front court play very well and have the depth just in case Mo gets in foul trouble or y'all have that situation come up?
Yeah, we're used to this over the last couple of years, as a matter of fact. So I think we're pretty versatile. That if we call it sudden change at Michigan after Bo Schembechler, that when things don't go right, all right, it's sudden change. Let's change and we'll still find a way. Next man up type of mentality, and we've had that all year long. John Teske in our win against Purdue, against arguably one of the best big men in the country, in Isaac Haas, he was like, all right, who's Mo Wagner? You're right, this kid's good too. So he certainly doesn't have the MO coming in like a Tyler Davis or somebody like that, but he holds his own against some pretty good players this year.
Right over here.
John, Mark Canizaro from the New York Post. Knowing the rigors of your profession and what you do, can you speak to the respect you have for Billy Kennedy and, you know, obviously dealing with, you know, with Parkinson's and,
yeah,
and still doing what you guys do?
Yeah, you know, Billy and I played against each other. I think I was at Richmond in the Arkansas Little Rock Tournament. And we played him, and I think they had just maybe gone Division One, maybe the Centenary had, and he was getting that program going. And I got to know him then, and huge respect over time. And we sat together. You know, if I'm going up and I go to an AAU tournament, I usually sit by myself. If I see Billy Kennedy sitting by himself, I'll go sit by him. I don't do that many times. I just really respect who he is. He's very genuine, authentic in every way, and that he's in a tough conference at a university that expects nothing but excellence, and he's really a great coach, great human being. Everything that I know about him is authentic and genuine.